Well, I just wanted you guys to know that I came prepared because these were confessions of a mad Christian. You can have fun. You can have fun as a Christian. You know, you don't have to be, you know, serious all the time. Do I look serious? You know, again, is this blocking your way? You know, I have to start this with pet peeves, okay? I have just two real pet peeves, okay? I ran into that pet peeve this morning. What is with this? What is with this? I have this container. And I have 100 tops, and not one of them fit this container. What's with that? That's a pet peeve. I think that they change them by micro, you know, inches, just so they won't fit. This looks like it fits, but it doesn't. That's a pet peeve. You can have that. It doesn't fit anything I have. The other pet peeve I happened to run into last night, and this is why I'm talking about pet peeves. This is my pet peeve. Commercials on meds. A lot of us are old now, and they're advertising all these meds. And this is my favorite talk. I just love this. You need to take Xantax, but beware. The side effects are your possible side effects. Your tongue will swell. Your eyes will pop out of your head. You'll have a rash come over your entire body. Possibly, you could die. And finally, I had heard my final one that says, who's going to take this medicine? They said on the radio today, it says, gangrene in genitalia. And I went, all right, who's going to take that medicine? Are you crazy and you're advertising it? I'm not taking it. Well, that's enough of the crazy person, okay? So we've moved to winter, and I wanted you to know that you don't need to lose your sense of humor in your winter season, okay? Everyone that thinks that we need to be, honestly, so serene all the time. You know, God had to have a sense of humor. He invented an avocado with a seed that was about that big. Why did he leave off? I would have had more of that good stuff and less of the seed. But my friend Nancy grows avocado trees, so that's good. Okay, so winter. Now let's get serious. But winter, it's a time in our seasons as women that we might enter a widowhood. It's a time of failing health. It's a time of caring for maybe our elderly parents. You get a lot of free time at this time. You kind of control your time at this age. You can have grandchildren. And if you don't have grandchildren, you can steal someone's. Where's Karen? I stole hers. There she is. Karen's back there. I stole her little girl. Anna. Every time Anna, her little girl like this now. Guh. I stole her. So there's also, this is the most wonderful time for serving. This is the time you can serve. So growing old in the Bible presents growing old as a normal, natural part of this world. There is honor involved in the aging process because growing old is normally accompanied by increased wisdom. Unfortunately, for some of us, wisdom is the reward of just surviving our own stupidity. Here. So what now? what happens now, ladies? You know, pretty soon, a little while ago, I thought that at least many of us gray hairs were going to spontaneously combust in this hot room. I thought, oh, there's too many ladies that have dark hair or white hair. We're going to just blow up with this heat. But there are things that come that we really need to pay attention as we enter this age, enter this season of winter. I want to tell you a story about becoming invisible. I was at church one day, and I was in my rut. You remember what the rut was? Complaining. Okay. I don't know what I was complaining about, but it was something like, you know, there just really isn't anything for me. Oops, there's that word. I, me, my. You know, they kind of did away with that. And you know, I really kind of like the old church. And you know, I just don't feel like I have a place here right now. And this woman was sitting there. And I just was just not really whining too much. But she says, oh, she says, you're becoming invisible like the rest of us. I said, what? She says, well, soon you'll be invisible like us. And here she was, an older woman sitting next to her husband. And her idea of age in the church was that she had become invisible. Invisible. That just blew me away, and I want you to know it shook my life. It shook me right to the very core. I said to myself, yeah, here I am. Where's the joy? Where's the joy in my new life that God has given me? It says in the word in Proverbs, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Also in Proverbs, God wants us to remember that life is short. We are but a vapor, it says in James. We are but a vapor. Life is but a vapor. It is here today and it's gone tomorrow. So you have a short time here. It also says in Proverbs 31:30 that the beauty of youth is soon gone for some of us. You, not me. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I think that the Lord reminds us in this word is that we shouldn't put all that thought into this growing old. The world would have you believe that we need a facelift at 40. We need our hips done at 41. We need liposuction at 45. And I need a breast augmentation at 50. I need Botox at 55. I need to dye my hair because I don't want anybody to see that I'm really getting old. That's what the world tells us. That's not what God's word tells us about growing old. In Isaiah, we worry about growing old because, you know, I think some of us get scared. You know, wow, now I'm old. Am I worth anything? Kind of like that woman who said she had become invisible. What do I do now, Lord? Also, does the Lord still care about me? I'm starting to have failing health. If you notice, when I walk, I limp. That knee does not work anymore. You know, I have all kinds of health problems that I didn't have when I was young. I used to work 14-hour days, and I can't do that anymore. If I work a 14-hour day, I want you to come to my funeral. Because I can't do it anymore. And I used to do it all the time. But in Isaiah 46:4, it says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. So where is our dependence? On the Botox? On trying to be youthful? Or is our reliance on God and his word, his sovereignty? So now you're in the winter season. Maybe this is a time that you can teach somebody else something. Because in the word it says, your season is not there just for you, but it's also to provide you with the tools to teach someone else. Titus 2, 3 through 5 says, older women, you guys, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, to be pure, workers at home, and remember this word, kind. When we get old, we get grumpy. Have you noticed that? I'll tell you, some days you just want to go up and greet people, right? And they're just grumpy. And then, you know, you go and say, hi. How you doing today?
Yeah.
How you doing? And you're, oh, gee, I wished I hadn't said hi to you. You just think sometimes, you know, I wish someone would wear a sign on their head that says, I'm crabby today. I would avoid you. But you don't want to be like that. You don't want to become invisible like that woman. You don't want to be crabby and push people away. The word says you're to be kind. You know, shortly after I became a widow, I was able to connect with other women. So that season of my life helped me to relate with women that experienced loss of their husbands. Now, I didn't have a wonderful marriage of 53 years. I didn't have a wonderful marriage of 20 years. I didn't have a wonderful marriage. My husband was an alcoholic and he beat me. He only beat me once, though. So I didn't have that experience. But when he turned his life around, I had the experience of loss and having not forgiven him. Okay? And I was depressed because I was sad because I had not forgiven him. That was a hard time then, okay? But now I'm a widow, and now I can relate to women. Not only women, but now who are widows, I can also relate to others who have been alone for a long time. Because I want you to know, I was 29 when my husband died, and I've been alone since. I've never remarried. I almost did, but that was a huge mistake. God saved me from that, and that's a whole different story. More on that later. All around you, people will be asking you questions. You know, suddenly I was being asked really hard questions that God had already prepared me for through the seasons that I had already been through. Young mothers asking me, divorcees asking me, young women who were single asking me questions, hard questions. But just like this counseling service that the church is providing, I never gave counsel that I wasn't in the Word. And I did not use my words, I used God's words. Because they can dispute what I say, but they can't dispute God's word. So if you ever think of counseling anybody in a direction, never do it on your own. Do it through the Word of God. Because His word will not return void. And that's in the Word. You know, all around you are people whose lives are filled with trouble and sorrow. We see it everywhere we go. They need your compassion and your encouragement. Are you an encourager? Have you encouraged anybody? Last week, this week? Have you reached out and just said, you know, I'm really glad to see you? Sometimes just a smile. Sometimes just a smile will make someone's day. You know, fruitful relationships aren't about us. They aren't. And, you know, perhaps that trial that you're going through right now in your season is preparing you for what is to come. And also, it's not just preparing you, but it's growing you for someone else, for someone influence in someone's life. You know, if you look at your season, you may find that your season just flies by. It just really can go by really fast. If you see it as a gift, if you see God's plan as a gift to you that you need to open, how do we do that? How do we see a season that is really a hard season as a gift? That's a hard one. I'm not sure I've got it figured out. But you know, God has it figured out. Rejoicing in our affliction is an incredibly challenging thing to do, and I'm not going to pull any punches. I don't know how you can do it sometimes. I have friends who are dying of cancer. I have friends who are going through incredibly hard times. But how do we do that? God can help us in that time. Just like before I told you about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they looked inside that furnace, that time of hard time, how many people? Three went in. How many were in there? Four. God said he will never leave you or forsake you. And when you're in that hard time, you really have to focus in on that trust. He said he is never going to leave you or forsake you. And God's word is truth. He doesn't just say that arbitrarily. To intentionally praise God during the hard seasons, when we actually can do that, then a light kind of turns on. Not like those. Maybe. It's like, oh, I can make it through this. I didn't think I could make it through never being married again. I didn't think I could do that. I didn't want to. I didn't want to be alone the rest of my life. I thought that stunk. I felt really sorry for my pastor. I went in one day and I said to him, okay, you know, I'm 29. And I don't like this idea of not being married. And I want a father for my son. Well, that didn't happen. So when I was 40, I decided, well, I'm going to need to return to college because nobody's going to support me. So I returned to college. It was a difficult time. I want you to know, raising a son, working full-time, and going to college and carrying 18 credits was not easy. I thought I was going to shoot myself in the head. I'll tell you. It was so hard. And I said, Lord, I've got to stick to this. I've got to stick to this. This is a hard season, but I know that you can get me through it. I know that because my son, when we were studying one night for an exam I was having, We were sitting in McDonald's because that's the only place we ever ate, I'll tell you. Quick food. I had to go study. He said to me, you know, Mom, the only problem with it is with you. He was 10. The only problem with you is you don't understand math. 10 years old. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you do algebra all wrong. 10 years old. I said, I'm going to be an engineer. He says, not like that. A little levity when you're going through a hard time is okay. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to cry. But really, it's okay to laugh. Nobody's keeping track. And if they are, send them to me. I'll straighten them out. You know, when we see our season through his eyes, then our complaining turns to trust. It truly does. We come to that. I got to get rid of this. Our complaining turns to trust, just like I mentioned before. Trust comes at that point, but if not, something else will come along. I promise you, God has a better plan. I didn't think his plan of me never finding another husband was a great plan. But can you imagine the poor guy that would be saddled with me? Poor guy, you know? The submission thing would have killed me alone, you know? It was just... But really, you know, I submitted my life to Christ. I always tell people, I'm not alone. I'm one with Christ. I'm not alone. And I'm truly happy. I don't know when that happened, around 30. I'm happy. Happiness is joy to me. It's the joy that Christ has put in my life. By fulfilling all those needs that we talked about. You know, during a really hard season, my faith is really being deepened. And like I said, joy abounds. And you remember that Goldilocks zone? That's when I really want to stay there. And God again shakes me up. No, I want you to serve me. I want you to tell other people about me. I want you to reach out and lift somebody else up. You know, this season of winter is a season that God commands that we share the gospel. It's a time, this is your season, that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got time on your hands, lady. It's a perfect time to share Christ with people that you don't know. Remember Pearlie? Become someone's champion. Pray like Pearlie Mae Scott prayed for me. Can you guys look into your own life and see if you had a champion? Think about it. Who was your champion? I can tell you, too, that it hadn't been Pearlie Mae Scott. I want you to know that Jesus is your champion. God is your champion. He would that none be lost. He chose you before the foundations of the earth. I love that. I don't understand that. We're doing this, behold your God, his majesty. And every time I open my mouth, I can't give him praise enough. Because I can't bring it into my mind on how great he truly is. When I bring him down to what they say, put him in a box and describe him, I just put him out because he's nothing like me. He's nothing like you. He's so far beyond what we can imagine. And when they said that he loves us more than we can imagine, he loves us more than we can imagine. You know, a troubled life is without Jesus. That's what a troubled life is. You know, a lot of people, you know, when you're sick, you go to the doctor and you say, I've got cancer. You don't go into the doctor and say, I have cancer. What do? You describe your symptoms, right? That's where most people live, is in their symptoms. I am lonely. I am suffering. I'm afraid. I'm suffering from a broken relationship. You don't understand. I am so stressed that I think I'm going to explode. And this one, there's darkness in me that I can't tell anybody about. And I don't know what to do with it. We need to recognize that people are looking for a cure. They're not looking for more symptoms. So how do we share Christ with someone who is so overwhelmed with their symptoms? How do we do that? Remember that word kind that I talked about earlier? Be kind. Remember I talked about sharing? Come alongside. Because when you come alongside, we know the ultimate cure. We do. You know it and I know it. It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't die for their symptoms. What did he die for? Their sins. See, unless we tell them what their disease is, then we have no way to take them to the ultimate cure, which is Jesus Christ. So when you hear someone using all those adjectives to describe their life, they're describing their disease of sin, a troubled life without Jesus. It's my strong belief that each one of us has that opportunity in the winter or any season you're in to be kind and reach out and share why you have hope. I know why I have hope. I know one thing. Jesus died for my sins. I asked for forgiveness, and he's coming to get me again. Amen. I don't need to know anything else. So, how do we share Jesus if all they see are their needs? I tried to share with this one gal, and this is what she would say. But you don't understand. But. Do you know what the word but does? The word but, whenever you're talking to someone and they're saying something like, I really like your shirt, but it doesn't really fit me. Like, I would never wear that. It negates everything you said before the but. So when you're trying to witness to someone, get them to stop saying but. Really, you need to bring them back. You need to keep bringing them back. James 2:15 says, if a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, it is dead, being by itself. So, how many times have you heard this? Oh, Christy, I'll pray for you. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'll just pray for you. You lost your job? I'll pray for you. You're not going to make your rent? Oh, I'll pray for you. Your car broke down? I'll pray for you. My husband lost a job. We don't have any food. That's what they're not saying. if we aren't meeting their needs, how can we witness Christ's sufficiency in their life? I don't know how we do that. When I first started working here, I had just met Steve and I warned him about me. Our interview went like this. Are you sure you want me for the secretary? You don't know me. I'm not like a front office type girl. I remember him just looking at me. I said, no, let me tell you. I'm really loud. I'm kind of really direct. I'll tell people just to go, get out. I'm busy, you know. I'm not that kind of girl. I said, I'm very direct. I'm a little bit forceful. That would be the word, forceful. I'm not aggressive. I may be a little assertive. And he just kept smiling at me. And you know what he said? It's really funny that you think those are your faults. We kind of looked at them as your good qualities. He really didn't know what he was getting into. But the reason I mention that is because he taught me something really, really meaningful to me. When someone comes in and says, you know, I would really like you to pray. I mean, how many people know this about Steve Massey? Steve Massey will drop everything he's doing. He says, well, let's pray right now. I'm not going to tell you I pray later. Let's pray right now. I've picked that up from Steve because that's a really important thing. That's the kindness we were talking about. I will stop and take time with you, and I will pray for you right this minute. Time. Can you give a little time to somebody? Whoops, wrong sheet. Okay, this is trying to hide my hips. Can you still see him? Okay. Whoop. Understand that your own life is a huge part of your witness. I can tell you all day long that I am a Christian. But if my life demonstrates something else, what good are my words? If I say I love you, how do you know that? If I say I care about you, how do you know that? If you don't demonstrate Christ's love to the world, he said we are to love our neighbor. If you're not demonstrating that with your life, what are you doing? Are you sitting here just sucking up stuff like a sponge and never passing it on? People not only listen to our words, they look at our lives, and we still fail, and we aren't always good example. And I am the first to admit that. God is in a continual, has been in a continual mode of sanctification since I first called upon him in my life. We still fail. We aren't always a good example. And our only hope is to come to Christ and surrender to him. It's absolutely nothing we can do. Christ has already done it. We just need to accept it. So, what does Steve preach every Sunday nearly? What do we do? Right. That's what we need to do. Now, you following doesn't mean, you know, you're behind the cart. You know? It means to get out and do what Jesus did. He reached people. He went where people didn't go. I have a friend who shared with me, and I totally agree with her. Sometimes there's irregular people in your life. I buy a lot of irregular towels. They're not just quite right, but I still use them. Your season may teach you an essential life skill on how to embrace change. If this season that you're in doesn't allow you to reach out and embrace those irregular people, then we need to talk about it. And I'm guilty of it. I'm not even pointing a finger. I'm guilty of it. It's difficult to approach some of these prickly people. You remember the ones? Sometimes they look like this from the side. So what I do, this is what I want you to do. I started thinking about this myself. How do I do that? How do I address the irregular people? Are you one of those people that comes into church and sits down in your place, you put your things down, right? Because if you don't, someone's going to steal your seat. And do you sit there and wait until the service starts? So what I started to do, what could I do? What could I do, Lord? So now I make it a habit that when I come in, I get up and I walk to the other side of the church and I greet 10 people I don't know. And I tell them I am glad to see them. And I tell them that I'm old and I'll forget their name. And I do. But I greet them again. And I greet them again. I got to turn that over. I keep going to it. So to grow what matters in your life is just like growing flowers. You need to get your hands dirty. You need to get out there and do it. And you have to dig right in where you're at. Growing what matters takes doing something that is counterintuitive to how we usually operate and embrace change. I've heard this so many times now. I really like the old church better because we used to do this or we used to do that. We just experienced a huge change. I experienced a huge change in this church since I've been here. It grew from around 120 when I first came, and here we are. And, you know, I've heard a lot of complaints. I have to be honest. Complaining. Well, you know, I wish that we did this, and I wish we did that. And I kind of don't like the way the music is now. And I liked it the way it used to be, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and on and on, infinitum. Who is that? Oh, that's me. Shh. I thought, how rude of you all. So now, that's why I didn't want it to go off, because I lose my place. But, well, where was I? I was talking about the, you know, that when we changed over into this church and everyone was complaining. So I think that the most important thing that we can do is to embrace that change. And how do you do that? Okay, I'm going to tell you. Volunteer. I don't know what to volunteer for. Really? They're begging for Sunday school teachers. Volunteer. Go visit some of our elderly that are inbound, homebound, okay? Go do that. That's something you can do. When we started this big growth, I started realizing that I didn't know a lot of people. So I thought, well, how can I fix that, Lord? So the next thing you know, I got 120 people coming out to my farm for a barbecue. I started having little dinners for inviting people that didn't know me at all to my house to feed them. Dessert. I didn't have a lot of money, to feed everybody, but I thought I could feed them dessert. I got to know more people like that, and I heard their story, and I know their name. You can do that. Meet a need. Okay? There's women in this church right now that cook meals in this room, I'm saying, that cook meals when people are sick, that work at the funerals when people die and take care of their relatives and feed them and comfort them during those times. There are women in this church that sit with the sick and give respite to caregivers. There's a person in this church who did it with me when I was taking care of my mom and gave me a rest. Oh, it was so welcome. Not that I didn't love my mom, even though she was nuts. She was taxing, and she thought I was trying to kill her. And that just wore on me. But someone came and gave me respite, gave me 3 hours, 3 hours a week for me to get away. You can do that for someone. There's no sign up there. You can do a lot of things that you don't think you can. To grow what matters in your life is just like growing flowers in the garden. We can either choose to embrace change, imperfect progress, and imperfect circumstance, and we can trust in all things. God said, work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So do you think if you're doing that, you're doing God's purpose? You think if reaching out and witnessing and telling people that I love the Lord because? Prepare yourself for every good work. Sometimes God is showing us his love more through what feels really hard than through what feels easy. We don't want to stay in that Goldilocks zone, folks. We don't want to do that. It may be hard, but God is there for that season. He can use you. He can use me. Your season will not last forever. Is it spring? It soon shall be summer. Is it fall, you young women? It soon will be winter. I want you to know I was really good looking once. I was young. I was a beautiful child. But look, I'm old now, but that's okay. It's change. You know, something really good for you that you don't want to miss is in this season. And you just may miss it by fighting the season and fighting the changes and fighting what you feel is imperfect. I want you to dig right in where you're at, reach out, and I want you to encourage someone else. And finally, yes, there is an end. God intentionally created us to grow old and change and learn over time. You know, through the different seasons of all of our lives. It's not an all-at-once thing, that sanctification. There have been many times in my transformation in my life, many different transformations. It wasn't just one single all-at-once event, all leading me closer to the woman God created me to be. You know, kind of like layers of a prickly artichoke, you peel them back. And over time, undone, that artichoke reveals a fruitful center. Right there. I've been in a continual state of sanctification since I first cried out to Jesus, and he is not finished with me yet. It turns out that this sanctification is part of coming alive. Coming alive. It is not, ladies, the season to become invisible. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. For everything there is a season and a time for everything, every purpose unto heaven. You know, King David's son Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And the Bible says that he was one of the wisest men alive. So this I will leave you with. The Lord just wants you and I to trust him through each and every season. Therein lies my hope. No matter what kind of season that you or I are going through, we can remember this one thing, that God's perfect plan is one that we can all trust in. I want to thank you so much for letting me speak before you today. So that is the end of our session here. So ladies, there's a few things that I would like to encourage you, okay? We need help breaking down the church and taking things, you know, and putting them back. If you have some time to stick around for a while and help us do that, that would be really good. Now, the flowers. I would like anybody to raise their hand that knows a shut-in right now. Anybody know a shut-in? Okay, anyone that knows someone that is sick? I would like you that raised your hand to take one of those floral bunches, and I would like you to deliver them to them, okay? Those floral bunches that we have prepared will be going to, with love from Hayden Bible Church, to Life Care Center, and to the folks that don't have visitors, that don't have anyone that loves them, okay? I also would like to tell you about the lanyards that you're wearing around your neck. We don't want you to take those home. We're going to reuse them. So as you go out, on your left-hand side where you registered are some little plastic boxes. Just lay them in there, okay? And I'm sure I'm forgetting something. Yes. Oh, thank you. I knew there was another thing. Keep me on track, girls. Okay, inside your packet is a little quarter yellow sheet, and it's a survey. Now, I just want to tell you all that this was an experiment. When they asked me to do this last March, I didn't know what this was going to look like, just to give you a witness of God. The first thing I knew that I couldn't do this alone, so I called some ladies that I knew that were strong in God's word, that I could rely on. And I called them and I said, would you be interested in serving on a team? Little did they know. And I had just one request. I said, please pray before we get together that a direction that God would like us to go, that we can touch women, and be ready at a meeting in 2 weeks, and we'll do some brainstorming on what we'll do. Here is God's working. God's working was the day that we all met together, and we had all our little pieces of paper. Everyone was in the same direction without having talked to each other about it. So that's God's plan. God's plan today was for you to be here. Okay, we prayed for every one of you since last March. We were doing a pearly May. No, I can't shake them over. Hell, no. So that was the miracle to me. Let me tell you the second miracle. You remember your wedding? And you thought, oh my gosh, I didn't get enough food. Oh my gosh, nobody's going to show up. Oh my gosh, too many people are going to show up. We only have this, we only have that. How are we going to do all of these learning sessions? So after everybody registered, I sat down and I took the count. And do you want me to tell you what happened? God divided it exactly. Everyone had approximately the same people before I even needed to say a thing. So God has been in the planning of this. If you don't think God is present around you at all times, it's not coincidence. Please don't think it is. So have a safe trip home. Let me close in prayer. And did I forget anything? Oh, lunches, food. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I knew there was something else. Music! We're going to close with a song, okay? And my ladies that are going to lead...